of Lake Effect Now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. A few years ago, we introduced you to the authors of a project to chronicle the oral history of Milwaukee's punk and alternative music scene. The interviews from that project, called The Cease Is Increase, have now yielded a new book.
Brick Through the Window, an oral history of punk rock, new wave, and noise in Milwaukee, 1964 to 1984, is the work of four authors: Steve Nodine, Eric Beaumont, Clancy Carroll, and Dave Lurson. Dave Lurson, who is also a regular Lake Effect contributor, is with us to represent the whole team and look back on that era with us. Welcome back to the show.
It's always great to be here.
Well, and let's start with the title of this book and what it represents. Brick Through the Window is a follow-up to an earlier book on the Milwaukee music scene. What does Brick Through the Window imply?
Brick Through the Window was the title of a song by Richard Lavallier, who was a member of the original Haskells, who I would say were the most important punk rock band in Milwaukee in the late 1970s in terms of building an audience not only for themselves but for the punk rock scene here in town. Brick Through the Window then carried over into Richard's next band, the Oil Tasters, who had some international successes and an album out and became kind of a cult item around the world. So it's a song title, but also I think it's addressed something about an aspect of punk rock, a kind of forceful response to the world we live in.
It has metaphor written all over it.
It definitely does, and the lyric of the song, as I recall, really has to do with a frustrated response to situations for which there seemed to be no better response at that moment.
Why do you think chronicling this period of the Milwaukee music scene is so important?
Well, it laid the foundations for many things to come afterward. The so-called alternative rock scene — alternative rock is a term I've never been comfortable with. It doesn't have a very specific meaning and meant less and less and less after a while, but it certainly grew out of what the punk rock scene was. Also, other things like heavy metal, I think, was influenced by punk rock, took on a more aggressive thrust during the 1980s because of punk rock, both here in Milwaukee and internationally. So it was important musically. Culturally, I would like to think that punk rock around the world stimulated an idea of opposing the kind of culture that most of us would find as the fallback, the corporate entertainment industry, even taking it beyond that. I mean, social expectations that aren't really thought through. I think, at least originally, to be part of the punk rock scene meant that you were thinking about these things and maybe coming up with some different conclusions as to how you wanted to live your life.
This book actually starts in 1964, which for a lot of people who might not be familiar with the scene, they might think that that sounds awfully early for punk rock.
Well, nobody was using the term punk rock until the early 1970s. I think it was Cream Magazine's Dave Marsh who coined the term as a way of finding a label for a kind of music, an undercurrent in the 1960s that was ignored by FM rock radio and by Rolling Stone magazine and so on, a sort of simpler, maybe cruder, not always though, but kind of the despised undercurrent. It was not the music of Woodstock. It was not the music that Leonard Skinner or many other bands that became popular in the early 70s. So punk rock was coined as this oppositional sort of form of music. And, to be called a punk before that time was not a complimentary thing. I mean, to be a punk, you're embracing something that had an outsider, outlaw status at that point. But since that time, all these other kinds of phenomenon, cyberpunk and steampunk, which have no particular connection in my mind with the music of punk rock, but the word punk has become sort of branded as this you know, way of being in maybe a drastic alternative to what's given to us in our society and culture.
It's almost a badge of honor.
A badge of honor, yes. What was once an insult is now a badge of honor.
Do you think the punks, if you will, from the early 70s, would they be happy about the, you know, sort of the co-opting of the word punk here, you know, 40 years later?
Well, I imagine that there are, you know, as with anything, purists who are just utterly dismayed by the course of the world. Since that time, people who would say that there has been no good punk rock since 1978 or thereabouts. I mean, it was kind of interesting to join up, if you will, to become a member of the punk scene here in Milwaukee and elsewhere. Meant that you had to, among other things, examine your record collection to see what would fit, what predecessors there were to this music, what kinds of things might be tolerated, you know, or what did you have to like take to the resale store and get rid of? So there were some big decisions that you had to make about that. There were some people who always took a very narrow view of what punk rock should sound like and how punks should behave and what it all meant. I'd like to think that I always took a broader view of it myself. And I think that to answer the question about the, you know, how do we feel about this today, there's many answers to that question. But obviously, you know, there's been not only the influence of punk rock on music to come from after that time, but there's been a resurgence of interest in punk rock among people unborn at the time that this happened, which I find really interesting. Punk rock really never went away, but I see more and more, you know, 20-year-olds who seem fascinated by it and would like to start their own bands and you know, do it over again.
Is it gratifying?
Yes, I think it means I was on the right side of history for a change.
Either way, I guess it required one to definitely trade in all of their Bread albums.
Yeah, Bread didn't quite make it. I mean, there were all kinds of great debates over which David Bowie albums would you want. I mean, again, I had a broader sensibility than some people did. But yeah, there definitely was a sense that mainstream rock music by the mid-70s had lost its energy, had lost its intelligence, you know, inquisitiveness. It had lost many of the things that made it special in the 1960s. And for some people, punk rock was a way of kind of going before these changes happened, getting back to what we saw as sort of the roots of things.
So how did this scene in a place the size of Milwaukee and, you know, geographically a place like Milwaukee compare to the punk scene in the much larger places we might more readily, you know, associate with punk?
I think that the punk scene in Milwaukee was much more creative than Chicago, obviously a greater city in size. But we had just an astonishing number of very imaginative bands, songwriting-wise. I think songwriting was really a strength of the scene here in Milwaukee. And I think in that way, we were the equal of cities like Boston and San Francisco. You can't really compare us to New York or London, of course. But I would say that Milwaukee was one of the top second-tier cities in the world at that point. For punk rock.
Do you think the people who study this kind of stuff nationally give Milwaukee its due?
Well, we produced a number of bands by the early 1980s that had worldwide impact, if only in an underground kind of way. But certainly the Violent Femmes, you know, come to mind first and foremost. But bands like Die Kreuzen, who influenced the coming of grunge in a few years, Plastic Land were very important with the psychedelic revival that was occurring during the 1980s. A number of bands, Couch Flambeau and the Frogs, you know, achieved, you know, measures of underground success. The Bodines were kind of a latecomer in the whole thing, but their theme songs got on. They did theme songs for situation comedies on TV later on, and remained popular. So yeah, I think that Milwaukee did have a very, very good impact on the world, and many of our bands were widely respected.
Well, what happened in the mid '80s to kind of end this particular phase of the punk scene?
Well, there were two prominent clubs, venues in Milwaukee from the late 70s into the early 80s. The first one, Zack's North Avenue, which is where the first wave of punk rock coalesced around that. And then the Starship, which is in downtown Milwaukee, opened in the early 80s and was around for a couple of years. The closing of the Starship marks a very good end point for all of this. Afterward, punk rock and the bands that had been playing were diffused in other venues around town. You could say that maybe the scene was not quite as intimate or coherent after that point, or that just became really big. The seeds spread, in many different places, and it began to turn into something else. Again, if you want to call it alternative rock, maybe a music with wider appeal that had a basis in what punk rock was a couple years earlier.
Do you get the sense, as you work to compile the stories for this book, are people still happy to be talking about this period in their lives?
I think people have become happier, more happy to talk about it. And part of it is, we get older and people begin to die. There were a lot of funerals for a few years of musicians and other people involved in the scene. And it begins to make one think about, the past a little bit more. There were a couple of musical events, Lest We Forget, at Turner Hall several years ago, which was a kind of reunion of a lot of the surviving musicians. There are all kinds of websites now, MilwaukeeRockPosters.com, and programs on other non-commercial radio stations that play a lot of this music. So yeah, I think that most people involved in this have a sense that this was a very important part of their lives, and maybe even a basis for what they did later on. And nostalgia can be an unhealthy thing if you are overly preoccupied with it, but a person who has no nostalgia is probably a very unhappy person. They have nothing happy to look back upon.
Amazing to be talking about it, though, knowing that the end of that period is, almost 35 years ago.
Yes, that is kind of mind-boggling to me to imagine how much time has gone by since then. I mean, it was certainly, a youth-led movement, though I would have to say that in Milwaukee, there were probably 10 people under the age of 20 who were involved in this. I was one of them. Most of the original wave of punks in Milwaukee in 1978 era were, people in their 20s, a lot of people with artistic inclinations of one kind or other who were drawn to it. Some of them already had one foot in what happened in the 1960s with some of the more radical things here in Milwaukee. It took a couple of years before word got out to most of the high schools in the area. And by the 80s, at the Starship, it became truly a more youthful thing than it was at the beginning.
You still have your vinyl from those days?
The local stuff, yes, 45s and so on. It was a flourishing scene, and most of this music, I think, is still very listenable today.
Dave Lurson, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Dave Lurson, along with Steve Nodine, Eric Beaumont, and Clancy Carroll, is the co-author of the new book, Brick Through the Window, An Oral History of Punk Rock, New Wave and Noise in Milwaukee, 1964 to 1984. They'll talk about that book at a Boswell Book Company event on Friday night. Well, that's when the brick goes through the window.